We greet each of you in Jesus' precious name again tonight. Welcome back to this evening's service. How well do you know God tonight? You can turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'd like to read some verses here and also from Deuteronomy chapter 10. Maybe some more questions to consider before we read this. Why does God love you? Have you done anything to cause God to love you? Does God have to love you? Let's read verses 6 to 11. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face. To destroy them he will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them." Now over in chapter 10, verse 15, which we'll read in a few minutes here, it says that the Lord had delight in the fathers of these people to love them, and he chose their seed after them. Now God, as we have seen today, and it's a lifetime of learning, I believe, of all what God is, but we recognize that God is, he has mercy, he has wrath, he has judgment, he has faithfulness, he knows all things and is everywhere present. And this passage tells us that he has love, and that he loves people. And if love were missing, he would not be God. And so for you and I to doubt God's love is to doubt the very nature of God. Now it says in verse 8 that God saved the nation of Israel for two reasons. First of all, because he loved them, and second of all, because he kept the promise that he had put to their fathers. And isn't that the same reason that he loves us tonight? That he has saved us. He has saved us because he has loved us, and also because all through the Old Testament he promised a Redeemer. He did not choose us for quality, that's for sure. He did not choose us for numbers, as it says here in verse 7, as he chose the nation of Israel. But because he chose men back then and today, that he still wants men and women to serve him and to be a people, to call his own, a holy people, as it says in verse 6. God wants a holy people to serve him and bring him glory. And just like he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, verse 8, out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, he has brought you and I out of bondage, out of sin and of guilt. In verse 9, we must reverence and understand God for who he is and for what his character is. He is God. He is a faithful God. And he keeps his covenants, and he's merciful in that. And he's merciful to those that keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He delights in obedient children, and he judges disobedience. Let's go over to chapter 10 now and read some verses. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that it therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that, I think, believe it's Paul that writes, that the love of God constraineth us. And in verse 12, it's laid out here what the Lord wants from us. It's very similar to that verse in Micah. But what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear him and to walk in his ways and to love him and serve him with all your heart? It's the greatest commandment, Jesus said. It also says here to keep his commandments. It's required. It's for, and it's also for our own safety and for our own good. Verse 16 is probably the most important hard issue of a person's life is addressed here in verse 16. God wants a broken and contrite people. And he wanted that back here, and he still wants that today. In verse 17, Moses appealed to the people to do this on the basis of God's character. Break your heart, be contrite before God, because the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. Do you love God tonight with all your heart? We can choose to love God today. Someday, the line through time for each of us will be drawn, and the opportunity to change will be over. And we can bow to Jesus now or be forced to bow to him then, when the Bible says every knee shall bow. So we've looked at who God was today, and our brother preached about this morning about a holy people, and we heard this afternoon why God allows suffering. God is absolutely perfect in his relationship with men. We can see that in some of these verses. And so does the love of God constrain you tonight to serve him and to love him with all your heart? I trust that it does, and I pray that you and I and our families and all of us together would have a deep love to love God and to serve him. Shall we kneel for prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you recognizing you as God for who you are, that you are the great God and Lord of lords and King of kings. Lord, I pray your presence would be among us tonight. We've gathered, Lord, to worship you, to hear your word preached again. Lord, I pray that you be with our brother as he stands before us, and that your spirit would be present in each heart, ministering to the needs as each one has need. Lord, I pray for those who cannot be here, possibly because of sickness. Pray that you be with them. Grant healing, Lord. That, Lord, as we go to, from here, tomorrow, and the coming week, that we would be a witness and a testimony of a heart and life that has been changed and that loves you with everything it has. Thank you for this congregation of people. I pray for them as they worship here together and live here, this community, that they would, that others would see Jesus in them. Lord, we again pray that you'd be with us. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The message tonight is Heavenly Citizenship by Brother Lamar Sensenig again. And let's give him our attention at this time.
Christian greetings again this evening to each of you. It's good to be here and be able to worship our great God together again. I'd just like to take this opportunity to say thank you to you as a congregation for this day, for allowing us to be here and enjoy the worship together as we have today. It's been an inspiration to myself, and trust that again tonight as we look into God's Word, we could be inspired. Thank our brother for the devotional thoughts. God has his heart set on each one of us. And the subject tonight is going to be ours to enjoy as we respond to the love that God has shown to us. Verse 14 of chapter 10 stood out to me. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God's. And we could say tonight that it's here for the taking if we but choose to take it. I invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 is the text verse that was given with this assignment. Tonight we want to inspire our hearts, or at least it's my desire to make the attempt to inspire your hearts and make you just a little homesick for heaven. I hope tonight we can do that. This subject is a subject that I'm sure each one of us has an interest in. We look forward, at least we talk about a time of someday leaving this earth and gathering together around the throne of God and enjoying a time of fellowship. Throughout ceaseless ages of eternity, we use language like that to describe it. But I have to wonder sometimes if we really connect to it in the way that God wants us to connect, in the way that we can connect and should connect. I believe that too many times this old world just feels pretty good, feels pretty comfortable. We're just at home. And our focus is here more than it should be maybe at times. Tonight we want to try throughout this message to get our eyes just a little higher and look toward heaven. I had to think about this subject this afternoon as Brother Reuben was sharing in relation to suffering. You know, it's things like suffering that prepare us and draw our minds toward heaven. It's what gets us ready and makes us realize that there is something better awaiting for us as we go through those times of suffering or those times of chastisement, whatever it might be. And it's God's way of preparing us for the things that he has in store for us. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." I'm going to read verse 21 right with that. "Who will change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We're looking for a time when we can leave this old world and we can leave the presence of sin, the presence of temptation, the presence of our peers and the things that we face, the things that we feel coming in against us at times. And we look for a time when we can be with our Savior, the one who, yes, made it possible for us to have this hope in the first place, the one who came and gave himself, shed his blood, took our place on the cross. You know, I was impressed with that recently as I studied for another assignment that I had. And the thought that Jesus did not come into this world to provide salvation for himself in any way. He didn't need to do that. He came to provide salvation for you and I. It was my sin and your sin that Jesus came for. He took that sin upon himself and gave his life and allowed himself to be nailed on the cross and suffer the anguish, the emotional turmoil, the things that he suffered that should have been ours to suffer. But he did it lovingly, willingly, without any kind of reserve for us, so that we could have the hope of a relationship with him here in this time, in this earth, and also in a future time. And we look forward to this time when he will come for his bride, his church, those that have chosen in this life to be on his side. We look forward to the time when he comes to be our Savior, our Lord, and for the glorious change that he is going to bring about. I don't know what all that change is going to be, but tonight I anticipate that change and look forward to that time. I'd like to just bring a few words into focus here in the beginning. The word conversation, for our conversation, is in heaven. That word simply means that we are citizens, is another word for this word conversations. Citizens of heaven. We are really not at home tonight as God's people, as Christians in this earth. We are in this world, but like the scripture says, we are in the world, but not of the world. I trust that we are not of the world tonight. At least that is what we claim to not be, and I want to tonight encourage us that we have something better to look forward to, and hopefully tonight that we are till we're finished here and maybe not as home in this world as what we are sometimes. But our conversation is to be, our focus is to be heaven. Our citizenship is there. And so our calling tonight is to live as citizens of heaven, citizens of another country, of another land. And I believe that when we think about that, that also means that our conduct should be in accordance with the characteristics of the heavenly country that we are called to represent in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're also, tonight as I thought about this message, the book of Hebrews has so much to say in relation to this subject in various ways, and I'd just like to turn back at this moment to Hebrews chapter 11. We call this the faith chapter. I'd like to bring to attention from Hebrews chapter 11 the faith of Abraham. In verse 8, he says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Tonight, I believe that Abraham's journey of faith and his expectation, may I say, of what God had, what lay ahead, even though Abraham did not know that, I do not believe tonight that Abraham really understood what all God had for him. But by faith, Abraham, when God spoke and gave him the encouragement to pack up, as we would say, and move out, move on. It is time to move. Abraham was ready to do that because he believed that by faith, he believed that God had something good for him. And so tonight, it is in the same way that as we, yes, live in this world, but we have our citizenship in heaven, we too journey by faith. It's a journey of faith is what it is. And we must reach out and grasp the promises, the things that God has told us are going to be ours. And so tonight, as I thought about that, I thought about the life of Abraham, a man who lived many, many years ago, but a man who I believe was, yes, a man just like we are, had the same fears, the same struggles, the same kind of temptation. He was seeking a better country. He had faith and he had confidence and he had a hope of a better place. And so must we tonight. We dare not lose sight of that. The songwriter says it like this. He says, "Here among the shadows in a weary land, we're a band of pilgrims on the move, burdened down with sorrows, shunned on every hand, looking for a city built above." Yes, we are a people. We are pilgrims. We are people who are on the move. And we are moving towards the end of time, as we might say. We are moving towards a time change, this time when the Lord Jesus will come and when this change in our lives, in our bodies, is going to happen. Each moment as it ticks away, we are a moment closer to this experience. Well, there's a number of things that I would like to think about. A message like this has so many different ways that one could take it and go with. Tonight, I want to, first of all, I'd like to say this is, number one is that we are citizens of this eternal city by the right of a new birth. It is only by a new birth that we have the right and have the hope and have the excitement of looking forth to a time like this. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us that it is he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And I love that verse so much, brethren and sisters. Jesus himself is telling us, is making the promise to us, that this heavenly country is for those who overcome, who make the choice to live for the Lord Jesus, and who follow the commandments of God's word. And this morning I said that God doesn't command anything of us, that he doesn't give us the power and the grace to be able to accomplish. And so tonight it is possible to be an overcomer. I want to stress that point. Tonight, heaven can be reality for each one of us when we just apply ourselves, when we just forsake ourselves and give our lives to God and let him work out the little details as we journey through our experience here. He says that he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and Jesus himself will not blot out his name, is what he is saying out of the book. In fact, he is going to what's the word I want to use? He's right there to help us. He's going to confess our name before the Father. He's going to say, well, here's a child of mine by the right of his new birth. He has the right to heaven. And he's lived a godly, a holy life, should I say. And he is going to confess our name before the Father. He's going to help us in that moment. We could go, and I don't think we're going to for the sake of time, but in Hebrews chapter 2, we have the record of some of the suffering of Jesus and some of the things that he set in place. And I recently was impressed with the, in fact, I preached another message on that subject, but I was impressed with a phrase there, the suffering of our Lord Jesus was to bring, it says, many sons into glory. And I just love that thought. Jesus gave his life so that many sons and many daughters could experience the citizenship of heaven. And a very, very many impressive thoughts around those scriptures. To be brothers of Jesus, joined heirs with Christ, and have a relationship like that with him. In fact, the Bible makes it plain that it is God who draws all men to himself. As we think about the love of God in our brother's devotions tonight, God has his heart set on us, and he wants to give us heaven for our home. He wants us to be citizens that represent his agenda tonight, his desires, his ways to a lost and a cruel world that we live in. And because of that, God is speaking to us. He's drawing our hearts. He draws men and women to himself and prepares them through the experiences of life. Again, those that respond. The second thing that I'd like to think about is the fact that if we truly are citizens of heaven, then our greatest delight on earth here is going to be the things that are of heaven, the things that are above, the interests of our home country, in other words. We know that the life of an ambassador is to represent the things of his home country. When an ambassador leaves one land and heads to another country somewhere, his interests are not maybe so much that country as what they are to represent what he's representing and show them what he has. And I believe that parallels with our experience tonight. As we truly realize that we are citizens of another country, then we ought to want to hold forth or to represent or to promote, should I say, the things of that country. And that is what God wants us to do tonight. To promote the interests of the home country. Galatians chapter 3 verse 1 and part of verse 2 says, seek those things which are above. Set your affection, singular, not affections. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. And I believe that denotes the thoughts and interests of a person with just one goal. Tonight, do I have a singular goal? Is my goal, yes, to represent the interests of my Savior in this country? And that is a challenge for us as we journey in life and we meet up with many, many different circumstances, to always keep that in our forefront and keep that, not lose sight of that vision, so that when the opportunities come our way, that we're prepared to share a word, have a word of encouragement to others. And I believe that process starts happening as, again, we meditate in the scriptures, and we the more we come acquainted with the King of our country, the more we know the Lord Jesus, and the more we know his gospel, and the more it's a part of our lives and in our hearts, the more it's going to radiate from us and be there when the opportunities come our way, and we have them. Number three tonight, heavenly citizenship radiates a joy far superior to anything this world has to offer. You know, I realize tonight that we live in this world, and yes, we need to be honest, we just feel pretty much at home most of the time here. We settle in and we have our responsibilities. We must provide for ourselves while we're here. And yes, we have families. We have children to raise. We have those pressures that press in upon us. And they're good, and they're right, and they're necessary, and they need our attention. But you know, we sometimes get bogged down with all the responsibility and all the work that we have here. And then on top of that, we have this enemy of our soul that just wants to rock the ship whenever he can, you know. And just bring so many things. He brings that discouragement. He brings those obstacles in the way that, you know, our days would just go a whole lot better if they hadn't come in the way of all this. And we need to respond to them. And how do we respond? And the point I'm trying to make is in this journey, in this earthly journey, we somehow sometimes lose that joy that I believe should be ours and needs to be ours and should radiate. On top of that, Satan also knows that he has this whole host of things, this world's goods, whatever it is. And I know for each one of us, the temptation comes in different ways. We all enjoy different things and have different ideas and so on about life. And Satan knows each one of those. He knows our hearts. He knows our weaknesses. And on top of that, he wants to promote his goal, his aim, his country, really, is what he's doing. He's promoting that and holding that forth and saying, but wouldn't you like to enjoy this for a little bit? And he makes it so real, and he makes it seem like there's a lot of joy. Go back to our brother's devotions this morning. The true joy is more than just this secular happiness that comes from the things around us. But true joy is in realizing that and not losing sight of the fact that we are heavenly citizens, that our citizenship is not here, but we have something far better than this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, Peter said this. He said, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Referring to the joy that comes from knowing Christ and having the hope of having our citizenship intact with him. Though now ye see him not. Again, it comes back to the thought of a journey of faith. We don't see, but we believe and we know and have experienced, yes, the peace that comes from submission, the peace that comes from yielding our hearts and our lives to him, the peace that comes along with all that, and the joy that comes along with that. I trust tonight that each one of us has experienced that. Yes, at times in a fuller dimension than at others, but we all experience that. And so I believe tonight that as citizens of heaven, our entire life should radiate a deep, steady, solid joy just found in Christ. And that, brethren and sisters, if we have that, if we have this hope and we realize that our names are written there and that we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, the world can't help but take notice, and the world will, like I said this morning, will see that there's something different about us. And I like the encourages in that. I believe that too many times we journey in what I described to you here earlier. We get bogged down in life and we walk around with our faces down and not the joy radiating from our lives like we should. And then we wonder why those around us kind of give us the looks and wonder what happened to us today. What's wrong with us? Let's have the joy of the Lord. And again, it comes from our peace, from peace, from submitting to the will of God and allowing him to set in course, set our sails, as it were, for him and allow him to steer the vessel in the ways that he would want it to go. Having said all that, I'd like to make a comment yet about the things that our enemy has. The fun and the thrills of the world are no match They are so, so short-lived. And the accountability or the when that joy, that short-lived experience is over, we experience everything but the peace and the joy that God wants us to experience. And it's quite different than this unspeakable joy that a believer should have in his heart and can have in his heart. And this is why Jesus said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." He knew that it would only be a fleeting experience and wouldn't last. Jesus knew that. And tonight I'm so glad again that Jesus is interceding for us. And he's, I believe tonight, is saying, "There's my children. Keep them from the world. They have named my name and they're living, but they're living for me, but they're in the world. Keep them from the world." And I believe tonight that Jesus is interceding for us in that behalf. Just another example of all this would be Solomon's testimony and his experience. We know that Solomon's despairing cry was, "This also is vanity. It's empty. It's nothing. It testifies of the emptiness of the gnawing dissatisfaction which follows these kind of earthly pleasures," is what it does. Again, I believe that the real proof of joy is when we have that peace, that calm, satisfied outlook on life, coming regardless of the outward circumstances that we find ourselves in, and maybe even regardless of the inward feelings that we have sometimes. We must take the facts, and we must look at the facts, and we must move on the facts. We know that sometimes our circumstances are not the way we would like them to be. And we also know that sometimes the feelings inside of us are not the way they should be. And so we must take facts, look at facts, and then we choose the joy of the Lord. We start counting our blessings and we move ahead because God has done so much for us. The second thing, as I think about joy, this joy only radiates from a personal acquaintance with Christ. Tonight, if you don't have a personal acquaintance with Christ, you will not have this joy that we're talking about. And so tonight, it's imperative that we have that relationship, that we enjoy our Bible reading and our prayer life and communion with God on a daily basis. Job 22, verse 21, and part of verse 26 says it like this: "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee, for then shalt thou have delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God." I love that. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. The two go together, hand in hand. As we acquaint ourselves with God, we have peace. We have a satisfaction. Having said that, I would like to also remind us that sometimes we get this idea that, and we know, and I'm not quite sure where the fine line between what I just said about our feelings and making sure that we look at facts and we move on facts. But sometimes we realize that we should be a joyful people, and we may try to manufacture a joy and radiate a joy. And it cannot be done. We cannot manufacture something that is not in our hearts. This joy comes from God. It is a gift from God. And it is only experienced as we approach God through his agent, and by the help of his agent, I should say, the Holy Spirit. And then it is ours then to experience. The joy that we're talking about is more than that. More than just the laughter and the good feeling. It comes again back to, it's attached to this knowing that our names are written there. Psalm 46 and verse 4 says, "There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God." And Jesus told us these things so that our joy could be full. He told us of a heavenly country. He told us of the highway that leads to it. He told us that there are these streams of blessing that flow from it. And yes, we experience them now. We tap into those sources in many, many different ways. And we experience those things now in this earthly journey here. And it is an encouragement to us. Number four is the fact that sooner or later, as we travel in this world, and as we seek this better country, we will discover that the road at times is narrow, it's steep, it's rocky, it's rough, it's scattered with thorns. Our brother this afternoon talked about the road of suffering. Sooner or later, we will face that road. Every one of us will face that road. I believe Reuben even made that comment this afternoon, that sooner or later, it's going to be our journey. It's going to be our time. And I would like to encourage us tonight, because one of the things that I believe, and I've said this many, many times, but never forget, I believe that God has nothing but our spiritual good in mind. God wants you and I to make it to glory. He wants us to journey through this life living for Him and preparing our hearts for the time when heaven will be a reality. He wants us to learn from the suffering experience. May I call it the chastisement experience, because that's often what suffering ends up being. It's God knowing many times what we need in our experience to just draw us closer to Him. But it's not that God brings those experiences to us because He wants to punish us or because He feels that we deserve it necessarily. It goes back to this thought that God knows what is good for us spiritually. He knows what it takes to draw us to Himself many, many times. And so God allows the road of suffering and the road of chastisement sometimes. I love so much what the psalmist said in Psalm 126, verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." You know, the truth of the matter is, when we face the hard times, the rocky roads, when we face the juniper tree experiences, like we talked about in the Sunday school lesson this morning, and we go through those times, well, Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Dear ones, tonight, let's not lose sight of the fact that God is preparing us for the time in the future that we can spend in eternity with Him. And He allows these things, and He allows the discouragement. He allows the weeping that may come. And it may endure for a while, but the joy will also come. Let's not get so wrapped up, as it were, in the weeping and in the tears and in the lamenting the experience that we lose sight of the joy that's going to follow afterwards. I believe that in every experience in life, every valley that we are called to go through, there's joy that finally comes afterward. I think I see that in my own life as I look back in my own experience. There are many, many experiences that I have gone through in my life that have not been pleasant experiences. But there's always a joy. There's always something better that comes out of them, and something more that God has for us. And it's what keeps us going. Job also said, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." What a testimony from Job. Just think of Job and his experience a little bit, and how God allowed Job to go through the tears and the weeping experience. And yes, it didn't. It wasn't just for a night, was it? But Job didn't lose sight of the fact that God had still had something in store for him. I shall come forth as gold. There's probably some verses that we should look at in relation to this. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Here the Apostle Paul had this testimony. He had this to say in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, our focus needs to go beyond the experience, go beyond the light affliction, he calls it. Sometimes we don't think there's a light. Sometimes we think they're hard and they're heavy. But in light of eternity, dear ones, it's but a light affliction. And they work in us that far, far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Also in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verse 7, Paul had this struggle in his flesh that we know about and he talks about. And he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We don't too often look at it like that, do we? When we're in that experience and we have the pain and the emotional turmoil of it, and we have the suffering experience, how many times do we stop and say, but this is for God. This is for the glory of God. We lose sight of that rather rapidly. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's a way of representing the home country, is it not? As we willingly suffer for the sake of Christ, and we leave that testimony to those around us. And like Brother Reuben said, those nurses in the hospital that looked at them and wondered, what's the ingredient that these folks are made of? They're responding different, you know, than what a lot of people will respond. It's because of a heavenly citizenship. It's because of an attachment to another world. It's because of an attachment to a higher power source. Just another verse in James chapter 1. Verse 2, my brethren, James 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God, again, working the salvation experience, the refining experience, that perfect work in our life, so that we are prepared for the home country, that we are entire, wanting nothing. It is God's way of working in and through us many times. Number 5, I believe tonight that as we represent the home country, God calls us and tells us that we are here in this world and we're to be busy. The Bible says, occupy till I come. Occupy doing what? Making a living, providing for ourselves, getting the business to grow, getting our bank accounts to grow. Is that what God had in mind when he said, occupy till I come? I believe God wants us to occupy in the things that are of his interest and should be our interest, may I say. And I'm thankful tonight to be a part of a church that promotes church growth and outreach work and reaching out and evangelizing our communities and bringing the things from the home country to our world and saying, look, people, we have something to offer you, something that brings joy, something that is going to last. It's something far better than you have experienced. We have a gospel message tonight. And like I said this morning, if it is hit, it is hit to those that are lost. Tonight, may we not lose sight of may we have a vision and not lose sight of our responsibility. I like the story, and I won't turn to it tonight. You're familiar with it. But I like the story of that little maid back in 2 Kings chapter 5 that waited on Naaman's wife. She was a little maid that was taken out of her home country, taken into a far land. But when there was a need, she said, but would my master that he would know where he could get help. And she was right ready to take him home to the prophet that she knew. I just love that illustration tonight. Brethren and sisters, there are so many people around us that we need to take home to the prophet. We need to show them the prophet. We need to tell them the story. Tell them the old, old story. It needs to be spoken again and again. And that's what God wants us to occupy in. Yes, we must provide, like I said, we must make a living. We must do these things. But is it on our heart to reach out to a world around us who is lost, a world who is headed for an eternity, not a heavenly country, but something vastly different than that? Let's go back to Luke chapter 15. I'd like to just remind us of what how precious souls are to our Heavenly Father. And as we think about this thought of occupying and representing our home country, in Luke chapter 15, verse 1 tells us, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now that's just an old story that we heard many, many times, is it not? But brethren, the truth and the reality of that story needs to grip our hearts. Dear ones, tonight there are people in the city of Altoona who need God. And they need you to occupy and to take the gospel message to them. Yes, there are men and women in the country of Bangladesh who need that gospel message. And we must carry it there. We must see that they get it. God has opened those doors. And yes, there's fears that run in our hearts. And there's things that we wonder about. And there's questions that we have. But we are here to represent the home country. And when the doors are open, oh, let's be faithful in doing that. Let's be faithful in taking the gospel message there. Number six, and I'm going to close with this last point tonight. It's kind of the same point that I made in relation to the message this morning on exhortation to holy living and the fact that it's only as we live holy lives that we prepare ourselves for heaven. My last point tonight is, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. I believe tonight that Christ has many rewards waiting for the redeemed people. The Bible tells us that at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Not just one pleasure, it says pleasures. Pleasures, things for us to enjoy. We seek pleasures in this life sometimes. We enjoy pleasures. Tonight, God has a storehouse full of pleasures waiting for those who respond. Those who make their calling and election sure. God has a storehouse full of things for us to enjoy. We're going to enjoy them throughout this term, ceaseless ages again, eternity, that we can't wrap our minds around. At least I can't wrap my mind around it. And I can't wrap my mind around a time of never ending and experiencing the joys that Christ has for us. But that's what heaven is going to be all about. Worshiping and praising God and just rejoicing that we're home at last. We are here. No more pain. No more suffering, the Bible tells us. No more temptations. The sin and the things that we know that rob us of our joy here in this life, they will not exist. They won't be there. We won't even, the Bible tells us, we won't even think about those things. We won't remember those things anymore. And it tells us that those that are there are those that overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Oh, what a challenge. That begins right here. The word of our testimony. And not loving our lives unto death. In other words, we are willing to spend everything we have now that's in our power and at our disposal. We must do that now so that it can be reality for us. Tonight, I'd just like to say that over yonder is a world that is unmixed with the sins and sorrows of earth, abounding in endless bliss and glory, which I guess I would say the most blissful things that we can think about here and now will not compare to them. I don't know what you think about when you think about something that just thrills your heart here now. I'm sure that for every one of us, it's something a little different, because I realize we're all made up a little different, and there's something that excites us and something that grips our attention and something that we just love. It's just great. It's sometimes we use the word awesome. It's just we just love it. Wherever you can go with that thought tonight, and whatever you can think in your mind, it doesn't compare to what God has in store for us in the future. The things of this earth are, may I say it, but temporary foretastes of something just a whole lot better. They're just enough to whet the appetite. And, yeah. Sometime take the time and read through Revelation 21 and 22 again. It's just so inspiring to think about the scenes that John saw and the description of all that. Praise God tonight that our names are written in the book of life. Praise God tonight that He is preparing a people and preparing a place to bring them together so that the people can enjoy the place. And praise God, tonight the Bible tells us, and his name shall be in our foreheads. It is only by the blood of Jesus. His name shall be in our forehead. Are you ashamed of the name Jesus tonight? Are you ashamed to identify with Jesus? Are you ashamed to go outside these doors into the city streets, into your home communities, to your neighbor, and promote heavenly citizenship, promote the king of our country, our king? I trust tonight that you're not. And I trust tonight that you're rejoicing that your names are written there. Peter said, "We, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." The righteousness that we talked about this morning is going to be a real experience there. Tonight, may God bless you as you journey homeward, onward, upward. Let's not forget that we are citizens of a heavenly country. And our calling is to promote that to a lost world around us. Shall we kneel for prayer? Eternal Father in heaven, we thank you again for this privilege of once again gathering together and looking into your word and being, yes, encouraged, exhorting each other again in the things of our home country. Father, I thank you tonight that there is a place like heaven that you have prepared and are preparing for a people that you are preparing. And Father, I thank you tonight that we have the gospel message, that we have the things written and we have it in our hands, and we can study it and we can meditate and we can find the highway and we can find a life of peace and joy and righteousness here. Father, help us to live out our testimony in reality tonight. Help us to have our names in the Lamb's Book of Life and to carry the name of Jesus in our foreheads here in this earthly journey now. Father, help us not to be ashamed, but help us to promote your cause and your interests and the things that you want, yes, this world to know and take notice to. Father, help us to truly be representatives of your home, of our home country, of that home that you are preparing for us. Father, I just thank you so much for this day and the blessings that we have enjoyed together studying your word and the many different ways and subjects that we've looked at today. Father, I thank you for each one here in this congregation and each one that is here tonight in this service. And Father, you know each of our hearts. You know each of our needs. And so we commit each one to you and pray that you would continue your work. Continue to draw us close to you. Continue to make us a people prepared for the time when you will come. Yes, to change our bodies, to give us a new body, and to bring that city full of pleasures that you have for us to enjoy forevermore. So bless us to that end. Bless each one. And Father, as we part tonight, we pray that you would bless us with traveling mercies. And if you would continue and should tarry, Father, that we would remember this day and the things that we've learned and take them along and, yes, Father, live them and promote them and help others to see their way into glory as well. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.